Welcome to the inaugural podcast of Bi Plus, podcasting for the Bi Plus universe. I'm your host, Elizabeth Meacham, and today we speak with Tiffany Desiree about her new book, Nature, Sex, and Culture, A Tree of Discombobulated Thoughts. Welcome, Tiffany.
Say hi. Hi, how are you doing today?
All right. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, my name is Tiffany Desiree. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington. I went to school at Washington State University, so go Cougs. I'm sorry, UW. I'm a published author. I write books, children's books for Lolly Wally World. And outside of that, I do have a few independent publications that I've kind of started myself. I'm also, the majority of the time, as I would like to say, pescatarian. Not all the time, but yeah. I enjoy, eating healthy. I love going to farmers markets. I'm such a Seattleite. I love the trails, the hiking, spending time with my dog. I'm a super nerd, and I'm very much bisexual.
That's good. Yeah. Pescatarian, for those who don't know, it's a person that eats fish. Well, and vegetables. I assume you eat other things than just fish, but you don't eat any meat but fish, correct?
Yep, that is correct. I stay away from the red meats for sure, but it's definitely just like a seafood-based diet. Every now and then I will eat chicken, which is why I haven't really said, I'm 100% pescatarian, yeah. But the majority of the time I do eat, a seafood-based diet.
Which in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest, that's a lot easier to do. You're in a great place for that. I miss the seafood up there. Anyway, how did you get into writing?
So I actually got into writing. I mean, I've been writing since I was a little girl. It's just always been a love and passion of mine. And so just kind of throughout high school, college is when I really started to break into my craft. I would do a lot of the spoken word poetry slams. I would try to submit work to some of the, magazines or even do like opinion-based pieces for the newspaper on campus. And I think it was after I graduated from Wazoo in 2012 is when I was really focused more on the poetry aspect. So at that time, I wrote a lot of poetry. And I'm just now publishing a lot of that work last year and also, this year and next year as well. But it was definitely poetry that expanded my horizons. It just allowed me to kind of, explore short story writing. I mean, just all the aspects, flash fiction, prose and different things like that. And so that's why I kind of call myself a short story enthusiast because, I'm kind of just getting into it, in terms of, sharing that work with people. But it really starts with poetry and then the doors just opened up from there.
Yeah, I remember in college, that's what I really loved, writing poetry. And I don't know if it was just because it's a way to get those thoughts out without having to worry too much about the mess of writing prose, whereas when you're writing prose you got to worry so much about punctuation. the little things. And poetry, you get it out and it can be artistic. If you forget a comma, it's no big deal, but or it just was a way to get it out while I'm doing other things, because I was writing a lot, of course, for assignments of just reports and things like that. And papers,
exactly.
The poetry kind of a relief, it was just spit it out and make it arty, and there's a lot of creativity that goes with poetry, that you can do quickly.
Exactly.
With the amount of focus I have, that's good. It's like 15
definitely.
15 seconds, I'm done. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that writing in any form is more creative or less creative. It's just that I felt like that was how I could get it out and still have my creative side while I'm busy writing papers for other people,
exactly. It definitely switches up depending on what you're writing. And that's what I like about poetry is you feel free. You don't feel restricted. You don't feel like you have to follow a certain rule. It's kind of like, you know, this is my page. This is my piece of paper. And I kind of want to do with it what I want and express myself, you know, on how I feel. One thing I remember my professor, I believe Buddy Levy had said this to me. He was saying, you can break the rules as long as you know the rules, you know. And so, and what I took from that, it was like, as long as you know the rules, but you have your own way of kind of spinning things around, it's like, why not go for it? And so that's the beautiful thing about poetry is I don't feel like I have to follow a certain format. And it's like when you get into that, you know, format, what I like to call restrictive poetry, you're not allowed to actually be creative because you're counting lines, you're counting, you know, all of this. And it's just like, you know, the syntax and all of that. And it's just like, nah, I don't want to do that. I kind of just want to feel free. You know, be able to get my thoughts out there, you know, like great poets like, you know, Jack Kerouac, because he's like one of my favorites. You know, I get a lot of inspiration, you know, from him and even Walt Whitman. And a lot of their work, they did what they wanted. They kind of broke the rules a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like you said, if you know the rules, you can break them. You can't break rules that you don't know about. So, it's, you know, it's a little rebellious if you think about it. You know the rules, but you can break them. So
That's poetry. It's cool. Learn the rules, break them anytime you want.
Okay. You've published a few children's books. Actually, my daughter noticed the cover of this book has some features of what you would find almost in a really creative children's book, as far as like the colors and the little birds. There's some little cute birds on this cover here, and then the people, the tree people racing. I love this cover, actually. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So you've written a few children's books. This is a big change from your work as a children's author. Was it hard to make that transition?
I would say that at moments it was a little hard, and the reason why is because your voice changes when you're writing poetry versus a children's book, as you know, a children's book, it's definitely more upbeat. It's more about teaching the kids, you know, a lesson, like eat your fruits and vegetables, be nice to your, you know, that kind of thing, like with, right? And then it's like with my poetry, you know, it's kind of, there's like a huge, you know, shift in there. So it was a bit difficult. So I had to take a step back, and I've kind of organized my schedule better, especially with my independent publications and versus the stuff that I write for my publisher, because of the fact that I need like that time to just focus on this project without getting the voice and the style, you know, mixed up with my children's book.
Yeah.
So it can be difficult at times.
Yeah, I'm just imagining you trying to write this poem about sex in a children's author voice and can't do that. You know, that's not going to come across right. That must have been a struggle.
Exactly. It was a struggle. Yeah. I have had a lot of people, they were just like, what made you want to write a book about nature, sex, and culture, and all of your previous publications, like you were saying, was children's books. And it's just like, I'm a free writer. I'm kind of like, I want to do what I want. And if it comes to me, why not write it?
It's like, that's like when somebody asked me with my third pregnancy, now why would you do that when you've got two already? I'm like, well, because it's there, I got to give birth to it. In poetry, it's a subject. It's there. You got to give birth to it. It's already there. You know, it's
exactly. Especially and poetry comes to you. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
Yeah, it's a writing thing. If you're a writer and something comes to you, it's got to come out.
Exactly.
You know, so you call yourself a poet and a short story enthusiast. Yeah. You already mentioned some of your influences. What genres do you like to read? And do you have any other favorites, authors that you like
to mention? Sherilyn Kenyon is my freaking heart. I love that woman. Her writing is so freaking amazing. I just love the, you know, the fantasy, the way she also implements history, which is something that inspired me to do so in my upcoming new release, which is this Friday, as a matter of fact. But Sherilyn Kenyon, she's amazing because she's able to take history and fantasy and different things like that. And so I for sure love fantasy. You know, I love, you know, science fiction. Those are some of my favorites. And and some of the young adult novels as well, which inspired, you know, like I said, my newest release. But Sherilyn Kenyon she inspired me in so many ways to try something new and different, because she has the Dark Hunter series. She has a number of series, and she just allows herself to keep writing without restricting herself. And so that was kind of like my motto or theme this year, is to keep going without any restrictions and not trying to box myself into one genre, because I do like to read so many different types of genres. But definitely my top favorite is poetry, fantasy, you know, fiction, science fiction, you know, those type of literature.
Now, you're going to hate me. I haven't heard of this author.
No way. Sherilyn Kenyon?
I know. There's probably somebody. I remember, what's the name of the gal that writes sci-fi or fantasy? McCaffrey. I can't remember first name. Yeah. My friend, when we were in high school, you don't know who this is. And turns out it's this huge name. I'm going to have to look this up. She writes fantasy novels.
Sherilyn Kenyon, so... Yeah. And here's the reason why I like her. So she does a lot of paranormal romance. Have you heard of that genre?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So she's a mixture of that, urban fantasy. She also does a lot of, like, suspense. And she also includes science fiction and a little bit of a paranormal fantasy. So that's kind of her genre. And that's why, like, her series completely inspired my new book release this Friday, because she's the type of author, like I was saying, she doesn't limit herself. Like, if she has an idea, she just writes it. You know, she's not confined to, oh, I wrote this genre one time, so now I just have to stick to it. And the way things are today, especially as authors, you almost have to be versatile. You can't just stick in one area, because then if you have an idea to come to you, you're sitting on a beautiful piece of art that could reach a new group of people. And so today, that's how you actually build your following, is being able to be versatile in many different genres.
Wow, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, you really have to put yourself out there in a lot of different places, and being flexible with genres, a great way to do that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Especially because with children's books, everybody's a children's book author today. It's easier for people to kind of do that a little bit more independently. Some people are underselling themselves. So as a result, the publishing industry, you know, has died down a little bit, because if you're putting love into your art, you shouldn't cheapen yourself. But with children's books, everyone is doing it. And so if you are writing children's books, I encourage every children's book author getting to young adult fiction, getting to fantasy, you know, get into, you know, just another genre, be versatile, poetry or whatever, because so many people are in that market that when it comes to, you know, how you sell and how you market your products, or your books, or, you know, stuffed animals that are associated with that book, it's actually pretty tough. And so you have a lot of bookstores like Barnes and Noble Which I consider myself very fortunate because my books are actually in their stores, and I've had plenty of book signings with them throughout the years. But it's not easy to just say, oh, I'm going to go ahead and be in Barnes and Noble now. Even Barnes and Noble was dwindling down on the type of authors they allow into their stores because everybody is a children's book author, even if they do not have the experience. So being versatile, it's literally essential to being successful in the publishing industry today.
That's really good advice.
You're welcome.
Do you have any favorites in this new volume that you'd like to share with us today? I always like to hear the author read a poem of theirs because, you know, we all are going to read it differently. So it's fun to hear what your take is on it. You know, when you read your own, you've got your own take on your piece of work. But it's not, you know, not to dictate what other people should think about it or how they should interpret it, but it's just fun to hear what you think about it. And you can hear that through your
Most
voice, trust me.
definitely.
Yeah. You know what
I'm
I mean?
totally fine
Okay.
with that.
Good.
Maybe I should read one of the fan favorites. Is there one in particular, or you're pretty open to whichever one I choose?
I'm open to you. I know my
Okay.
favorites, but we'll talk about that.
Okay, perfect. I guess the one I will read is kind of some of a lot of the fan favorites, and I read this before I released the book when I did a TED Talk performance a few years ago, and so the crowd really, really loved this one. Even though it's kind of short, it is powerful, and I actually do kind of have a backstory to that poem, but it's going to be The Weeping Bird on page 2.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, I like that one.
I'm ready when you are.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, perfect. The Weeping Bird. The other day, I watched a bird cry as she tried to spread her wings and fly, but the branches kept pulling at her feet. If only the gods could hear me cry, maybe they would create a way for my soul to be set free. Oh God, can you hear me weeping? Every day I pray for freedom, but I've received only chills from the strong wind that tickles my feet. Cold, so very cold. Is this my destiny? All I've ever wanted is to see the world, she said in her fragile voice. I sat and watched, nothing much I could do. But then I decided to overcome my fear and climb the tree. As soon as I reached the top, the bird was gone. Lo and behold, it was I who was weeping with the branches tied to my feet. The weeping bird flew above the sky. She graciously looked back and smiled with her wings spread wide. I couldn't believe my eyes. Her eyes reflected me.
Wow. That was so moving. Sorry. I like that one. That's like it opens the book and it's just that was one of my favorites. I had a few favorites, but it's one of my favorites. There's a lot of emotion in it, I think. Clearly. It's a
Definitely.
weeping bird, of course. But anyway.
Exactly. That was a when I wrote that poem, that was a it was kind of like a stressful time in my life. Because I kind of felt like I was letting my dreams kind of pass me by, and I was just watching, people around me kind of flourish and, succeed in different things like that. And I know they say it's not good to look at what other people are doing, but I was young. I was fresh out of college, and you know how it is. You really don't know what you're gonna do.
I
And so
still
you're
don't
just
know what
like,
I'm gonna do. I gotta do it. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing.
It's
But you know,
like
and
that
that's a good
sometimes.
point though. It does. And I remember my 20s, but you know, it's like You get out of college, you think, okay, that's over. I'm going to be able to do something now. And like, no, you got to pay rent. So it's like, no, not for you, not yet. This is like, I'm still going through the grind here. And you get to the point where everybody around you is doing something and you feel like you've been left behind. Life is just interesting, isn't it? But that's, I think that's why that struck a chord with me too. That book, it's like the branches holding your feet, you know, because I feel like that sometimes.
Yeah. So, and that's how it is, unfortunately. And that's why, you know, it's a stage that a lot of us go through, and kind of like how you were saying about the grind, people don't realize you go through the grind for so many years. It doesn't happen overnight. And we get, we're misled by the media. We think that, oh, if I do this, I'm going to put this post up on social media, and then boom, out of nowhere, everyone is just going to start flocking to my website, and I'm going to sell out, and then I'm going to be a millionaire by the end of the year. And that's just not how it happens. And I think most people know it doesn't, but when you see people who do receive that kind of interaction online, it happens, but it's very rare that someone could reach such a large audience in a short amount of time and actually, you know, benefit from it. But it's a grind. It's something that you have to continue to push at. And that's what writing is. You know, you have to keep going. And that's what inspired me to write that poem, was I'm watching other people who are essentially living my dream. And so my goal was to make sure that my dream came true. And that's why the bird reflected, you know, me. That's why I was looking at myself. And so as I got older, you know, and different things like that, and I started to grow up and see that, you know what, like, it's not easy at all. I'm going to take a step back, especially away from social media. I don't want social media trying to dictate how things are supposed to go for me or how life is supposed to be. Because when we look at just our lives here in America, you know, America is top dog. America is always growing. America is fast and the first to do this or the first to do that. But at the same time, that's how we start to view, you know, our dreams, our goals, our relationships. Like, we can go to a fast food restaurant and get whatever we want. We can, you know, go online and on Amazon and order whatever we want. And so when we have access to things like that, we start to internalize that in other areas of our life as being the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
And that's just not
how this relationship is going to be exactly like I want, and it's going to be this way, and it's like, no, you're dealing with another person. That's not going to happen. You're not going to get fast friendly service. It's going to be, you know, you have to wrestle with things, and it's true. And you know, people are so dependent on their likes. Like, oh, I don't have any. I just did this post. Why don't I have any likes? Or why don't I have any followers? It's like you and everybody else. There's, you know. Yeah. How many billion people using social media now? Everybody's out there, and it's, you can't base your self-esteem on that, you know.
Exactly.
It's not going to go your way. Not all the time. Even people who do succeed. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was about to say, like, because, you know, I have quite a few social media pages, and I've bounced around. When I first got into social media, I was on YouTube. And I was kind of doing my music. I was turning my poetry into, like, rap and recording videos. And I didn't really reach that many people. And after probably about 4 or 5 videos, I was like, I'm done. That's not working out. And then I moved over to, you know, Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, I've maintained a decent following. Facebook is where I have the most followers. And, but when I first started that page, it was literally like 30 people, and now I'm at almost 12,000. And so consistency is key. That's what I've learned, you know, with everything. And so when you're consistent and you do move over to another platform and you want to reach a different group of people there, some of your fans will actually, they'll follow you. They'll be like, oh, you're on Instagram now? Because I just opened an Instagram May of this year. because I've just been
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, and the reason I did it is because I had a quite a few people on my INFJ, the outgoing introvert page, who were like, "Why aren't you on on Instagram?" And I was like, "I don't know." And so, so once I hit 10,000 followers, I was like, "You know what? I think I'm gonna, listen to my fans, the people who have supported me, my friends, my online family, and definitely go ahead and open up, an Instagram." So, I mean, at the end of the day, you just have to be consistent in what you do, and you have to have a goal. If you're expecting yourself to come out, rich or famous on the other end or popular online, then you're not going to be successful. Because my INFJ page, especially as an introvert, I'm a homebody. I wanted to connect with other people like me, and I've met so many amazing people. And so, and now I'm able to share my art with them, and it's beautiful how much their mindset is introverts is similar to mine's. And so it's all about having a goal and just being consistent. And I know I keep saying that, but I've seen so many people who release a book in 2013 and they're just like, "Oh, it wasn't successful. I don't want to do that anymore. I think I might get into YouTube videos." And then I'll do a YouTube video, and maybe their first video only received six views and maybe one like and zero comments. And if that doesn't pick up steam, then they just give up. And so when you do things like that, it's because you don't have a goal, you don't have an objective. And for me, when it comes to my writing, my objective is to reach other people who are similar to me, but then also to reach people who are not similar to me so that they can be able to connect and understand who I am as a woman, who I am as a woman of color, who I am as a bisexual woman, who I am as a multiracial woman. So I belong to many, groups. And so I just love being able to put all of that into one book and allow people to see, there are some similarities and differences. And I just want you to be able to enjoy this form of art and, and connect in that way.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I thought I lost you there for a second. Move harder there. I want to talk a little bit more about this book. You talk about being multiracial, and there's also some indigenous stuff in there, which I thought was really cool.
Yes.
You tend to get people who talk about the whatever they appear to be, you're multiracial, but you appear to be black. So if a lot of people would just be tempted just to talk about the one that everybody sees. But you go in depth about your history and your
Yes.
ethnic history and talk about your grandmother and some at least one poem. I'm thinking of where did I find that one? Oh, now I gotta find it. But there was one, where it was, the two-spirited one. Now this is different. The two-spirited organ mistress. This is one of my favorites.
Yes.
And I'll let the reader or your the listener go ahead and buy this book because they're not gonna buy it if we read all the poetry in it. But you talk about falling in love with someone who's two-spirited. And I mean, you don't
Yes.
explore just your own, but you seem comfortable in exploring other people's backgrounds and ethnicities and sexual identities in a way that's very respectful. And that's extremely hard to do. It was just
Absolutely.
really neat seeing that. I don't have a, it's really cool seeing that. In a book like this, that you were so open with your own self that you, and I think you have to be very comfortable in your own self that you can reach out with to others with respect, and understanding that
Yes.
that point of that worldview. But there's a lot. The other thing I wanted to talk about before I forget is the last bit of this book is not poetry. It's this cool story. There's another one. I'm a fifth generation African. Oh, I love this one too. Okay, all of these I love. Okay.
Thank you so much.
It was just really good. Hold on. The one about Capitol Hill. The story. The short story bonus. Adventure with a Stranger in Seattle. Part one. So there's a part two that I'm looking forward to. It's included with this volume of poetry. That was so awesome, especially for me. And I got this book. At that point, it had been 16 years since I've been back to Seattle. So it was so nice seeing my hometown.
Wow. And
driving and the bus. I rode the metro so much. I just love, I'm intimately involved with the buses, let me tell you. Just everything was so visual. I just saw, her jumping into the fountain. And some weirdo follows me up to Capitol Hill that I'll probably maze him. But it was a really good story. And I just, the visual Thank imagery you. In all of this is including the poems, but it was just so awesome to get to read. It was a real treat. I did end up going just this past month up to visit my brother, finally get up there to meet my nephews and my sister and my great nephew and great, I have a lot of people up there. Anyway, but it was cool. It was like a slice of home. It was like a slice of pie to me. So I
ended up. Sweet. I used to go to Seattle Central. That's why I was able to, capture the environment so well. Because before I went to Wazoo, I spent 2 years at Seattle Central. And Capitol Hill was my second home.
I did Shoreline and Edmonds. 1 year at Shoreline and 1 year at Edmonds, up in North Seattle and Edmonds, Washington, before I went to Evergreen. So I did the same thing, the 2 years, get your 90 credits, and then transfer, because it's a heck of a lot cheaper than trying to pay for it all out of pocket.
Exactly.
And I was paying for myself. And no scholarships here. It's tough. But Seattle makes it so easy. There are so many community colleges up there. It's great. That was the nicest thing. If you couldn't find it at one, you could find it at the other. It was so easy. Now that I'm talking too much again, sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I mean, I love Seattle. That's like, Seattle is my heart, so.
Yeah.
I had to include a short story about Seattle. That story was inspired simply just from sitting at Cal Anderson Park on the bench, watching people watching. That's all I did. And just wondered, who are these people? Do they know that person very well? What type of adventures? And so people watching is a lot of fun, because you can, build up, you receive a lot of creativity. Your imagination really does go wild. And so Adventures with a Stranger in Seattle, definitely inspired that, because I just love Capitol Hill so much. So I'm glad everyone liked that story. Part two is in production. I'm not sure. I don't have, an ETA of when that's actually going to be.
You'd have to
released.
Email me when that comes out.
I sure will.
I have to know. Yeah, it actually, there was a story, that when I was in Seattle, I was talking to a friend, and we were just talking about something or another. And she brought up this story of staying in a hotel when she first got there on Capitol Hill. And walking outside of the hotel, and she sees this woman running around naked in the snow, and some guy's running after her, and she thought, oh, I need to call the police. And then this woman just starts laughing, and so it turns out this guy was probably trying to he was carrying a coat, he's trying to cover her up. But it's like, that's what that story reminded me of. On Capitol Hill, somebody's just running around naked, clothes wet, jumping into fountains, or throwing snow in that case. But yeah, it was.
That's Capitol Hill for you. You never know what you're going to see.
Nope. No. That's the fun part of Seattle. I worked up there for a little bit too. That was definitely fun. Okay, now we have to talk about home. So tell me a bit about your page. Tell us about your page. Your blog. It's not just a blog. You have a Facebook page. The outgoing introvert.
Yes, that's correct. So INFJ, the outgoing introvert, is a page where I kind of sell. I don't sell, but I put up memes. And so that's what the page kind of started as, just sharing fun quotes, you know, trying to inspire other introverts, like, hey, you're not alone. There's other people out here like you. For those who don't know, INFJ is actually a personality type. So you have ENFJ.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take the test for free on Human Metrics. That's like one of the ones that I prefer.
Yeah.
It's really good. But it's like the I stands for intuitive. Introvert, and then you go into the N and the J, judging and feeling and et cetera, et cetera. And so it's just like a personality type that allows you to, you know, connect with other people and, you know, look at the mindset. Meyer Briggs started it, and then also Carl Jung, part of his research helped because he did do some research on personality.
Yeah, Myers Briggs, they based it off of reading of Carl Jung. Yeah.
Yes. Is it Carl Jung? I feel like I'll say his last name wrong.
I do too. So we'll just go with whatever. It's like, what of us is saying it right?
Yeah. I never say it right. I'm like, I don't know.
I think it's Jung. My kids would tell me. They'll tell me I'm wrong after this. I have teenagers. They know stuff. I will check with them. He developed the theory, and then they it was a mother daughter team. They developed this test to go with using his idea. So and it was
exactly.
Myers Briggs test. If anybody wants to look it up, you can. I'm sure plenty of places you can check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So do you have a lot of followers for introverts?
Yes, I have 11,000 plus followers at the moment.
Wow.
It's really awesome. It took a while to grow the page, but I mean, like, the people on there are just so amazing.
That's the thing I like about Facebook is that you can find your tribe. I mean, you can find your people on Facebook. Whatever it is you're going through, there's people sharing about it. Some of that stuff on there is pretty dark, but I think for the most part, I think it's being used in a positive way. We'll let the mean people have their corner and Facebook can deal with them. But, there's a lot of great support online, So thanks to people like you who create pages like this. That's pretty cool.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hello?
Uh-oh. You still there? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Avoiding talking over each other.
Yeah, there's definitely a delay.
It's kind of crazy.
To finish answering your question before technology took over.
Yeah.
Oh, hello?
Technology took over.
Before technology. Yeah, I'm here. So, when it comes to the INFJ page, it started off as memes and, being able to connect with other people. Now that I'm kind of like reaching a larger following, I am putting together like a free INFJ swag bag giveaway. I was going to do it last month, but then of course things came up with this new publication. And so I had to focus on that. But But for sure, I have merchandise now. I actually have a business license for INFJ, the outgoing introvert, which I didn't even think of before. Like I said, when my friends, because I consider it my online family, when they say, "Hey, why don't you have a shirt?" I listen to them and I'm like, "You know what? Let's go make a shirt."
Especially if they're willing to buy it. Okay, yeah. That's awesome. This is sounding like it's really taken
Definitely.
off for
Yes,
you.
it
But
is.
it's, yeah, so you found your spot.
Definitely. I consider myself very fortunate and extremely thankful and just happy that I found my tribe and I'm able to connect with other introverts and be able to be myself. I know a lot of pages, they kind of hide who they are. But I was one of the first INFJ pages that let people know, okay, like, all right, this is me, this is who I am, here's my picture. And I feel as if that made people feel just more comfortable knowing like there is an actual human behind there, which it always is, but it's more personable for them to see.
And see, if you're an introvert, you're shy and you kind of want to make sure that it's safe, before dipping your toe into the water, so to speak. So that makes
Definitely.
sense.
Well, for some introverts are shy and some
All
aren't. I do want to throw that out there. That's a
You know,
misconception a lot.
and that was one of the things Carl Jung said, is that you can't be total introvert and you can't be total extrovert, otherwise you're insane. That everybody's in there somewhere. It's kind of like a spectrum.
Exactly.
But so yeah, and it changes with time. I used to be, my brother, I was talking to him, he's like, "You used to be so shy." And I go, "I know, and I tell people that, and they don't believe me." But just, there's a little bit of introvert still in me. So
Yeah.
it moves with time, and I probably get shy again. I go back and forth. It's okay. We're just people, man.
Definitely.
We're just trying to
I know I
live.
have a one of my friends who's also introverted. She's far from shy, but it depends when it comes to like introversion, it's all about who you are around. If I'm in a large crowd, I'm probably not going to say much. If I'm in a smaller crowd around people that I feel comfortable with, then you're going to just see total nerd mode. You're going to see a lot of laughing, giggling, I mean, just all types of stuff. You get the real me. And so that's introversion is simply, I lose my energy by being around so many people, like it literally drains you. But then like I have to recharge and go be alone so that I can go out here into this world again and start all over. But, some introverts are very shy, others aren't. But again, depending on the environment, you might see that introvert's true side, true personality come out.
I had to overcome my shyness. I just kept being told, you when I was a kid, you need to overcome
Yeah.
this. So I cover it up by talking too much. So
Oh yeah, that's the
it's like an overcompensation thing.
yeah.
So it looks like I'm
I have a
extroverted,
friend
but
like that. Research shows it's a
I'm
coping
totally
mechanism. A
terrified on
lot
the
of
inside somehow.
introverts do it.
Okay, where were we? You keep talking about this book that's coming out, so now's your chance. Do you have any other upcoming events or books? And
Yes.
I know you've got something,
I have
so
some
tell
really
us about anything
cool
coming up.
stuff coming up. So on Friday, September 13th, I will be releasing Every Little Girl Wants a Tea Party. It's a part of one of my series called Spiritless Souls of the Stars. It's African horror stories and folk tales. So it's kind of a first of its kind. You don't hear too many stories about African folk tales. So this is definitely going to be fun. I've already done my table read. I've had a few people to go in there and provide their feedback, and they're loving it. So again, Friday the 13th of September, so this month, go out there and get your copy of Every Little Girl Wants a Tea Party. It will be available on Amazon. Also on October 6th, I have an event for my publisher. It's going to be fun with Lolly and Wally. I'm going to share a very fun and nutritious sweet pea recipe based off my first book publication called No Peas, Please. Again, it's October 6th. It's going to be, let me check the date here. It's going to be from on Sunday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. So it's going to be down at Natural Grocers in Henderson. Come check me out and, you know, and have some fun.
It sounds fun. And I'm here stuck in Kansas. This is sad. Okay, before
it's funny you say Kansas. Today, I do.
You got something in Kansas?
Well, actually, I don't have anything in Kansas, but my book that's released on Friday takes place in Kansas.
Oh, cool. Now I'm going to have to go get this one, too. Hey, who did the artwork on this cover? On the Nature, Sex, and Culture, before we close, I meant to ask you, who did the artwork on this cover?
I have a secret artist that I do not want to share with anyone.
Okay. Well, you tell them for me, or if they're listening, this is amazing art. It's one of those things you look at, and every time you look at it, you see something new, because it's like different, like, things pop out.
Definitely.
That's pretty cool. So it was a good choice for this book too. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Nope, that would be all. Thank you so much for, you know, allowing me to join tonight. I had a lot of fun, and I'm very happy that you enjoyed Nature, Sex, and Culture. Tell all of your friends about it. Everybody go purchase it. It's on Amazon. I've actually dropped the prices for my book because of the fact that I do have a new release on Friday. So you can get them pretty cheap right now. So I say go ahead and take advantage of those prices, because it's not going to be like that for long.
Good. Okay. So you'll raise it back up. So it's on sale. Get it while it's on
sale. Yep. It's on sale. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks to our guest, Tiffany Desiree, for joining us. Thanks to our listeners for joining us as well. Remember, there's a whole bi plus universe ready to embrace you. Reach out and find your community.
That sounds awesome.
Okay, we're done.
All right, bye. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in, everyone.
Yeah, let me make sure I've got everything before I let you go. I want to make sure this thing is still recording. I'm going to stop recording now.